It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you with us. We are continuing our broadcast live from Orlando, Florida, where we are continuing our coverage of Velocity 2019, the forum to learn about solutions and strategies that will help you accelerate your digital supply chain. You can learn more at velocity-conference.com. We've been conducting a variety of interviews with supply chain leaders from across the end-to-end supply chain. And we're going to continue that with our first segment of our fifth episode here as we sit down with Corinne Bursa, Executive Vice President with Logility. Good afternoon, Corinne.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you, and certainly thanks for the invite down. We've had a blast between the panel event and the breakout sessions, the keynotes, and, of course, all the interviews here on Supply Chain Now Radio. And all the feedback we've gotten from all the attendees. You know, as we talked about in the warm-up, we've conducted 14, 15 different interviews, and a lot of common threads were the value from the Solutions Cafe to the points and takeaways from all the different sessions, which we're going to dive more into in a second. But seems like a successful Velocity 2019.
Hey, I think it's been really successful, and I want to thank you for joining us for it. I know that we were able to leverage some of your expertise in the talent panel, which I thought was a great session. It gave us the opportunity to bring together, I think we were referring to it almost as the supply chain of talent.
That's right.
We had, you know, Sean Willems with the University of Tennessee. We had yourself in your role with Talent Stream.
That's right.
And then Carolina Mahano, who is the head of supply chain for Smithfield Foods.
That's right.
Great discussion. Thank you for kind of sharing your insights in that area.
I had a blast, and I learned from Sean and Carolina. It was great to sit on the same panel and just soak up their perspective. Because, as you put it, between Sean and the incredible program, supply chain program at the University of Tennessee that's supplying so many great professionals into the industry, to Carolina, who is growing, expanding, and building their team, and of course, they're in the trenches fighting that war for talent and supply chain like so many organizations are. So it was an honor to sit on the panel, and we got some great questions from the audience, too. So appreciate that.
You know, Scott, before you leave that topic, I just want to thank you for all of your hard work and dedication and just the time and the talent that you pour into not only Supply Chain Radio, but Apex Atlanta, and that your heart is really around this topic and the work that you've done with Atlanta, which I think is very important and can really add some value in closing the talent gap around supply chain, but also the work that the team with Apex Atlanta is doing in education in school to make children more aware of opportunities in the area of supply chain and start planting those seeds early so they can think about not only their role in the supply chain today, which may largely be as a consumer, but how they may actually look at a career opportunity in supply chain down the road. So thank you so much for that.
Well, I appreciate that, Corinne. You know, there are so many neat, we've come along. The good news is we've come a long way as an industry, as a community, whether you're the universities or whether you're the hiring managers and the end users of talent, so to speak, or you're the providers. We've come such a long way in how we engage the talent pool and the up and coming generations and those that are here. However, to your point, most of that focus, despite a lot of the great STEM and STEAM work that's going on, most of the focus is really placed, I think, on the collegiate level, which is important. Young professional level is important, and we're seeing it proliferate more into the high schools. But to your point, if we don't get upstream into the elementary schools before they make some of these decisions that are oftentimes, I know for me, was based on a lot of assumptions, we're not optimizing that pipeline of talent coming in. So We'll see. It's been a pleasure to meet and to get support from across the supply chain community as we go into these schools. We're next due up to, we're just a Drew Charter School with Supply Chain 101 with Apex Atlanta a couple weeks ago. Mm. We did 6 sessions in one day.
Fantastic.
Holy cow. I was talking about being on fumes from a brain power standpoint. That was a long day for all of us. But we're going to be at Unity Grove Elementary School in Locust Grove in May. In a few weeks, where we've got 6 sessions teed up. And without, you know, supply chain leaders like yourself and many others, we wouldn't be able to stand that program up. So thanks for your kind comments. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly the 8 a.m. Supply chain talent panel was a rewarding one to be a part of. So on that note, though, let's shift gears back to Corinne Bursa. Tell us more about your background and your journey that you've been on.
Well, you know, I have been in supply chain for decades. Can't believe I said that. So for decades, I came out of college, supply chain was not a discipline that we taught at the college level. It was something that, you know, I grew into as really the industry grew. So it's kind of exciting to see how far we've come and the opportunities still ahead. So I have been in, hardcore plant and production environments. I've been in corporate planning teams and had the opportunity to work with a number of businesses when I was with Accenture that were looking at doing mergers and acquisitions or divestitures. But supply chain is always a big part of that. And then I just love the technology part of the equation and the ability to help translate what technology and software can do to improve the hands-on experience and improve bringing those products to market more cost-effectively and more in tune with actual market demand.
So I just bet, and I'm not an M&A expert, but I can only imagine how much more higher of a valuation that companies get these days with a can-do-it supply chain performance team versus, you know, even 10 years ago.
Oh, it is a differentiator for sure. And actually, one of our general session speakers is dealing with just that. So Johnson Controls Power Solutions is in the process of being spun off from Johnson Controls. Mm. And they see their supply chain as a differentiator in the marketplace. So very exciting. They shared a lot of great insight around not just the forward supply chain, but the recycle supply chain. So they actually recycle 90% of the batteries that are put into the marketplace. Mm. So a tremendous green story around their business, as well as a growth story about where they're taking their business in the future.
You know, that came up, their session in particular came up in some of our earlier interviews. Some of our interviewees remarked how open and transparent they were with the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly. And I think that's what makes very compelling presentations. You know, there's no shortage of dinner meetings at all the associations and conferences and all that stuff. But when you get folks that are willing to open a kimono, so to speak, and really share transparently, you know, because there is no perfect organization, as we've seen. And not step on toes. Amazon. Everyone points at Amazon. And we talked about this yesterday. Amazon gets so many things right. And so many folks want to be like Amazon. However, as we saw in the news this week, their Whole Foods had a little issue, right, with order delivery and inaccuracies. And, you know, my hunch is that Amazon embraces the challenges. Mm-hmm. They're going to share a little bit about it. And then they're going to go out and fix it. And, you know, for a company that gets so much right, that's still the nature
Absolutely.
Of supply chain.
So. It's true. And I mean, my thought on Amazon is it's a company that's not afraid to fail, number one. But number two is that they are really a technology company that's masquerading as a retailer and doing a darn good job at it.
Oh.
And so I applaud all the innovation that they've brought to the marketplace. They've upped the game for each and every provider in the market, whether you're in the business-to-business sector or business-to-consumer. Our expectations are different today than they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago about what good service looks like.
Absolutely. You may know Lisa Anderson with Apex chapter. She's on the West Coast. And we've done a series of webinars with her talking about the Amazon effect. And even if you're a consumer in your dentist office, because of your Amazon experience, you expect the bar to be, you know, to test results same day or next day. I mean, it just changes everything. And, you know, we all benefit as consumers, but we also all encounter new challenges and exciting opportunities as supply chain folks because the bar is raised. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this Amazon era continues to play out and what the road ahead. So let's talk about, before we kind of dive, I want to get more of your takeaways from Velocity 2019. There are a bunch of great presentations, including the Johnson Controls folks we heard so much about. Let's talk about your, let's talk about Legility first. What does Legility do?
Oh, great. So love to talk about Legility. I know you know that. But Legility is a leading provider of solutions that do optimize supply chain planning. So everything from demand planning and forecasting to inventory optimization and supply and production planning, integrated business planning, sales and operations. We bring all of this together on an advanced analytic platform that helps you manage your business more effectively. Mm. And, you know, the short answer really is we help companies replace inventory with information. So in that process of replacing or looking at where you're investing in inventory, we're going to help you identify the best place to keep it, to reach your service goals, and to be in touch with market demand. Mm. So not too much, not too little, just right.
You know, I had a one of the sessions we did within Apex Atlanta, all the different workshops and dinner meetings we've done through the years, and I know you're familiar as a member of our executive advisory board. He challenged the audience one time, Mark Preston, with consider when you think about inventory, think about there's an insurance company used to have a stack of bills with two eyeballs on top. And I think it was Aflac or one. Anyway, it's a series of commercials. And he's like, think of your warehouse like that. It's money sitting back, staring right back at you. And you got to treat it like that. So really interesting visual about inventory. But it sounds like Legility y'all have continued to grow through the years. And the Velocity 2019 conference is a continued step in that direction.
It is indeed. So I think you know this, Scott. We were founded in the Atlanta marketplace. In fact, American Software, which is our parent company, the first PhD in operations research out of Georgia Tech, is one of our founders.
Wow.
So Dr. Tom Newberry, and the company was founded on planning, demand planning, inventory, replenishment planning. So the first in the marketplace back in 1970. And as the solutions grew and the market opportunities grew, we put all of that great planning technology into Legility, and certainly the company has continued to grow and thrive. And this is our largest customer event. We had nearly 500 people here, so
really?
A lot of fun.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
So we mentioned Apex a second ago, and y'all have long been thought leaders, not just within supply chain, but also very active leaders within the Apex community. And you know, Apex Atlanta, not locally here in Orlando, but where we're from, it's been around almost 60 years, 650 members, long legacy of serving industry and serving the Metro Atlanta community. But also in these days, in the ASCM era that we're entering in now, the Association for Supply Chain Management, which Apex is now part of, it's a global community. And so y'all are active locally, and you're a sponsor of Apex Atlanta, which is a sponsor of Supply Chain Radio. You serve on the Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. As part of that, you gave a great executive roundtable session at Graphic Packaging International.
Oh, Scott, that was so much fun. We had a great time. I'm sorry if you missed it. You need to join us next time
because right.
It was really tremendous. And the Graphic Packaging was a beautiful location. So
they're doing some neat things.
Kudos all the way around.
And that session was focused on S&OP. You gave a great kind of a dual role there, facilitator and presenter and subject matter expert. Well received in that. That kicks off our return as an Apex Atlanta chapter, going back to the executive roundtable formats where, you know, 30 to 40, maybe 50 people at the most, really focus in on the executive level, focus in on a key supply chain topic. We're working our next. This is a concept. So this is breaking news. We need late breaking news signal there.
Let's hear it.
So we plan to concept between Apex Atlanta and the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, venue to be determined. But we're going to hold a session around the global supply chain and how, you know, working through all the cultural norms and the and just how that global supply chain, not only are you dealing with challenges from a sheer practitioner standpoint, but, you know, someone that communicates in Georgia is going to do that differently than the Philippines versus Vietnam versus you name it.
It's true.
So not only do we have to solve problems as tough problems that, you know, that exist regardless where you live, but you also have to do so working in a very multicultural environment. And we haven't had a, I don't recall, we haven't had a really an interactive session on this yet, and we plan to do that in late May, early June. So,
well, you know, Scott, the majority of supply chains are global. So as a, you know, as a company, you're either serving a global market or you may be sourcing or procuring raw materials or finished goods from around the world. So to say you're not global these days, you're probably, you know, the rarity or in the small percentage. And it's really an important part. We even heard that this morning. So this morning, Richard Proud, who is with Group Dynamite, which is a fashion retailer, women's fashion retailer, fast fashion retailer. And they have two different brands. So they've got Dynamite and they've got Garage. And this is a business that's growing. And one of his observations, so they're based in Canada, one of his observations was, even in North America, there are some stylistic things, not fashion, but business style that is different in Canadian businesses and U.S. businesses. And working through those where we all speak the same language,
right,
you know, so, and we're pretty much in the same time zones that are being served. But his observation as an American working now, for a Canadian business, it's been a great opportunity for their leadership team to just learn more about how to work effectively across the borders, back and forth, and serve the marketplace in the most appropriate way possible and drive fast fashion and customer delight at every step of the process.
Mm. It's tough to do in one country. You know, it's even tougher when you talk about the global supply chain. So we look forward to that next executive roundtable event. Hopefully we get a facilitator as talented as you did, the SNOP event at Graphic Packaging, and more information to come on that. But speaking of global, we talked about y'all's role with the Metro Atlanta chapter, but you're also neck deep in involvement with the global APIX ASCM community as well.
Absolutely. You know, first of all, thank you for the time that you pour into the APIX Atlanta organization as a whole. You and Chris offer some tremendous leadership for all of us. And I know sometimes it probably feels like you're herding cats, but but I want to thank you for that. So we get tremendous value out of it. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for our experts to give back. And they want to do that. We are passionate about this business and about getting better every day. So not just for our own skills, but for the marketplace. And we learn as much as we teach. So it's just serving the community that I think is terrific. But that Atlanta Roundtable is certainly very active. Thank you also for the opportunity to be on the Executive Advisory Board.
Yeah.
But nationally, we're very involved with APIX or ASCM. I'm still making the change.
We all are.
but we're also on a global basis as well. So very active in the Australian marketplace as well, which has a great ASCII. It runs under ASCII banner there. Effort in that area to serve that community as well. So lots of good opportunities. CSCMP as well.
Great organization.
And just a number of others. But you know, when your goal is education, which is what APIX is all about, it's hard not to get some value out of that process.
Absolutely. That is our North Star for sure. In a number of different ways, whether it's certification, whether it's some of the industry awareness stuff that we're doing, like we've talked about, or informally or formally sharing best practices where it's not technical formal education in terms of classes or workshops, but it's helping folks communicate as best practices.
Brainstorm, share ideas.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we do. So moving from APIX and ASCM community to kind of a broader, the supply chain world, what are two or three current supply chain trends you're tracking more than others right now?
Well, you know, I'm sure that you've been talking a bit over the last day or so about the digital supply chain and the value proposition around that. And and the opportunity to really model your business, your physical supply chain, and to model that in software to create a digital twin, right? And that digital twin allows you to model the capabilities of your organization and to look at things like demand variability or supplier reliability as a part of that equation. Because these are levers that are very, very important when you start to optimize, you know, how much product, where that product should be, how quickly that's going to go to market, can I do postponement strategies, et cetera. So digital supply chain is a great topic. You need to assume it's global. And the value proposition around that, because that gives you a way to test out a variety of things in the virtual world before you implement them in the tangible world. So that digital supply chain, the whole purpose of that is to model and analyze, and having that set up is going to allow you to take advantage of new technology and accelerated learning that can happen in your business. So it's a great foundation for tapping into some artificial intelligence, which can be scary for some folks. Machine learning, which means my model and my business is going to get smarter and smarter over time. So lots and lots of opportunity there. It's a great foundation.
So any other, there's so many buzzwords, and not the, not the, belittle their value, but there's so many things that we could talk about from a supply chain that are, you know, as we always say, I think it's federal law to mention blockchain in each and every supply chain conversation. But any other trends that, that you may be paying attention more than to than others right now?
Yeah, you know, one of the big themes that is looming for almost everybody these days is we've always talked about improvement initiatives around people or talent, process, and technology. I think it's important that you add data to that, right? Whether it's blockchain data or other data that's available to you either in your enterprise or out in the marketplace so that you tap into some syndicated data. If your business is seasonal and you're able to pull in some weather data or weather information, you know, where days can be measured in millions of dollars, it's important to know which day is the right day. And sometimes these other factors will come into play as you serve your market. So I think that, you know, one of the big themes is don't stop at people, process, and technology. Be sure you add data to that and tap into these new data sources, whether in part it's from a blockchain perspective or whether it's looking at new demand indicators in the marketplace as you sense and respond to market changes. It's really exciting. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for all of us to run our businesses more efficiently and effectively.
So we've added a fourth dimension. Don't stop with just people, process, and technology, but you have to add the data piece to that.
Yep.
Yeah, completely agree with you. It's like discovering a new planet in the solar system, really, in many ways, right? But unlike Pluto, it's here to stay. It's not going to be awarded the planet status.
We don't want to do that.
So let's shift gears again to, let's talk about Velocity 2019 again. And we've kind of been in a catbird seat a little bit as we've sat here and have interviewed, 15 or so folks and getting them to share some of their key takeaways. It's kind of like been the sports center of supply chain, all the highlights, right, from all the sessions. But give us some of your key takeaways from Velocity 2019.
Yeah, well, one of my key takeaways is really simple. Opportunity abounds. Opportunity abounds for your business. Even if you're at the top of your game or the master of your market, you still have tremendous opportunity to get better, smarter, more efficient, to leverage your talent more effectively. So we are seeing that loud and clear. Lots of opportunity, even from those market leaders. And we've had a number of them here with us this week at Velocity 2019. So companies like Smithfield Foods or Tillamook are ones that come to mind, but you've also got Jockey, which is doing some new and interesting things that are accelerating their time to market. So taking lead time out and getting to market 30% faster.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's really, really tangible as they look at opportunities. Or even Siemens Healthineers was with us this week, and they talked about what they're doing to improve patient outcomes. So they're getting fresher product in the market each and every day, and that's allowing them to do things more effectively, like maintain expiry dates and making sure that all of their customers have fresh products, so that whether they're doing a diagnosis or a prognosis, that is something that can be relied upon, and those patient outcomes get better and better over time.
Life and death.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we talk about the power of data, to uncover what we're afflicted with, the diagnoses, and then properly treat them by making smart, timely decisions, accurate decisions. You can't raise the stakes much more than our personal health. Yeah. So it's really neat to see healthcare professionals and leaders get involved in supply chain conferences. So what other key takeaways are on top of your brain right now?
So, one of the things that's on the top of my mind is, for what's left of my brain at this point in time, it is the fact that we had the opportunity to recognize 6 companies around their leadership and their success in the industry. And what I would say, Scott, what was really interesting is that their business driver was a bit different for each and every one of them. So the first was awarded to a company called Follett, and they do Fall Rush, brand new business that was launched literally last summer to serve the college marketplace. And they do private label branded products. So, your UGA, or for you, a South Carolina or a Clemson shirt, shall we say. They do all of these products, and they manage them for the university bookstores. They launched their business and had private labeled product in over 500 bookstores in a matter of months. And just tremendous growth that's supported by great systems, giving them visibility in the marketplace. So huge growth stories, right? And something that you might consider, that market's being served already.
Right.
They saw an opportunity, they pursued it. I mentioned Siemens Healthineers just a moment ago. They were a winner as well around really delivering fresher product to market. So a lot of industries struggle with what they look at as shelf life, right, in the food and beverage sector, or expiry dates in the life sciences sector. And that was a big driver for them, an opportunity to have fresher product while at the same time reducing inventory investments for their company. Mm. So faster turns, we all strive for that. So another great one. Leupold Stevens, which is in the area of, they make high-end optics. Mm. They're all about precision in the marketplace, and they really wanted to become demand-driven. So for the first time ever in their business, they've got a comprehensive forecasting process that is now feeding their sales and operations planning process. Mm. Completely changed the conversation for their business, and you'll love this. Freed up 20% more time in their manufacturing schedules. That's like giving them an extra day a week to produce product.
Yeah.
Right? So lots of great stories of companies that are being successful with a variety of drivers in the marketplace. And then Smithfield Foods is doing a phenomenal transformation initiative, and it is going from, from farm to customer. And they're reducing complexity, they're increasing accountability in their organization, they're using their manufacturing and distribution network much more efficiently, and it's really exciting. And lots of opportunity to not only put fresher product in the market, but to save their business some money as well.
Mm.
So lots of great things.
Absolutely. And it's neat to be to place that spotlight in front of over 500 folks here at Velocity 2019, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great forum. And I should probably mention that the big winner was a company called Tillamook. And Tillamook has grown by 70% in the last 2 years. Yes, 70%. Their business is literally flourishing. And that means new products, new channels to market, greater efficiency, and realigning all of their production and distribution capacity. And so they really brought almost all of the other success factors together: high growth, better inventory utilization, new product introductions, So just a great story about a team, a talented team coming together, leveraging technology to meet a very specific business need, which was the opportunity to grow the company very, very cost effectively.
Love the growth stories. There's no shortage of them here. It's really neat to hear those. So shifting gears a little bit, there's going to be a strong afterglow from the Velocity 2019. Whether it's the success stories, the case studies, some of the best practices shared, and some of the challenges that I know that a lot of conversations, frank conversations centered on. But looking ahead, what other trade shows are on your radar that you'll be attending this year, Corinne?
Yeah, there are a number of really great ones for folks to participate in. Next up for us will be the Gartner Supply Chain Executive Conference. So that takes place in May in Phoenix. And actually, they also have a European event that'll be in Barcelona in June. So you'll kind of see two different flavors of that event, but it has grown to be one of the largest events in supply chain. So really looking forward to what not only Gartner has to share, but all the practitioner presenters that'll be a part of that event. And then, of course, once we start heading towards the fall season, we'll have the APICS conference and CSCMP. We're also very involved with the Institute of Business Forecasting, so IBF. Plays a part as well. So, getting that full picture of demand and inventory response, production capabilities, distribution, bringing it all together. So lots to look forward to.
So is IBF, I've heard a lot about them. Is that a national organization, or are they based in the Atlanta area? Where do you know?
So they are actually a global organization, but their largest member base is in North America. And much like APICS, they're very focused on education around the forecasting process and sales and operations planning. So becoming demand driven. So a great skill base there and an educational forum. And then they do a variety of conferences that are more regional in nature.
Sounds like a great group, IBF. So how can our listeners, we could do a recap show for the next couple of days,
I think,
from the
fun
buzz here.
Thank you for including me.
Well, I'm glad, appreciate your advocacy for us and your involvement in APICS Atlanta for sure. And, but no shortage of topics and stories and anecdotes and best practices, but, how can our listeners get in touch with you, and learn more about Legility?
Well, I want to encourage everybody to go to Legility.com. That's Logility.com. So Legility.com, there's a wide variety. Check out our resource center. Lots of great materials that you can add to your library. And certainly, if you want to reach out to me, I can be reached at kbursa@legility.com. That's Corinne Bursa at Legility.com, or kbursa@legility.com.
Fantastic. Well, appreciate you joining us for this segment, Corinne Bursa, EVP with Legility. But also thanks for having us down, and thanks for the interviews that you've helped to facilitate. Appreciate you. It means a lot when I think organizations like Legility facilitates these conferences and helps connect their customers to each other, but also to other best practices, other resources, you name it. I mean, really, I think it was well done. And y'all have been doing a version of this event since?
Gosh, since 1996, I think. And you know what? Even in our virtual worlds that we're in today, you still get tremendous results. When people get face-to-face and they start sharing ideas and have kind of unstructured conversations, magic happens.
Absolutely.
So we're really, really pleased to just be a part of that and facilitating the process. But thanks so much to you. I think that you added a new and interesting element to the conference as well. And people are excited. I mean, your coverage with Supply Chain Now Radio makes it just underscores how important supply chain is and how important each and every one of the individuals you've talked to are as change agents in the marketplace. Thanks again, Scott.
You bet. And you're welcome and happy to play a part. We've enjoyed it, and I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed all the different topics we've been able to capture over the last 2 days. So Corinne Bursa, Executive Vice President with Legility, thanks so much. And to our listeners, you can learn more at legility.com. Thanks for joining us throughout our coverage of Velocity 2019 in Orlando And be sure to check out our website at supplychainnowradio.com for all the replays, upcoming events, and a lot more. You can also tune in via SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.